Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset, your guide to news and culture in Chicago and beyond. Summer in Chicago, it's the most beautiful time of the year, a time when we thaw out from the brutal winter and enjoy the outdoors. But for residents of Little Village and Lawndale, it's been difficult to access one of the biggest green spaces in their area, Douglas Park. From Lyrical Lemonade Summer Smash to Heatwave, music festivals are taking over the park. With Riot Fest a month away, residents are saying enough is enough. A petition to remove the music festival from the park has garnered more than 1,400 signatures. And after a heated community meeting, the contractors have stepped down and Riot Fest management has apologized. The September festival is moving forward, and now community organizers are calling on artists to drop out in solidarity. Joining me now are three people who would like to see Riot Fest move somewhere else. Sarah Heyman is an organizer with Unete La Villita. Juanita Irizarry is executive director of Friends of the Parks. And Edith Tovar is an organizer at the Little Village Environmental Justice Organization, also known as El Vejo. Sarah, this dissatisfaction from some residents who live near Douglas Park, this is not new, but it definitely appears to be ramping up this summer, especially as we get closer to Riot Fest. Tell us more. Why are some residents upset?
So residents are upset because our park is fenced off and destroyed for a minimum of 46 days of the summer. We haven't gotten any sort of say in how our park is used, how we feel about having these festivals. And it just seems like another slap in the face from the city where they are prioritizing people with money over people in the neighborhood who use the green space for recreation, for mental health, to look at birds and nature. And so these people who don't live in our neighborhood, who don't really contribute to our neighborhood, their needs are being prioritized over neighborhood needs.
Yeah. Dig more into that for us, Sarah, and bring us up to speed on some of the back and forth over the last week or so, and more of your take on this.
Mm-hmm. So in the last week, Riot Fest had, a couple weeks ago, Riot Fest had scheduled their first community meeting in the 7 years that they've been in Douglas Park at 12 p.m. on a Tuesday. At that meeting, the contractor that they sent out was not prepared to answer any of neighbors' concerns and was dismissive of them, and then asked them if they understood pure English. And there were several people there who were Spanish-speaking only because the neighborhood is predominantly Spanish-speaking. So neighbors were really upset about that. Kelly Garcia from the Chicago Reader wrote a story about it in response. Riot Fest blamed it on the contractor and said that he has stepped down. But we believe that this is Riot Fest. This is how they've treated the community all along. So we are asking that they leave Douglas Park. We're asking musicians stand with us in solidarity and they drop out of the fest as well.
Edith, let's bring you in here. You're a lifelong resident of Little Village. What does Douglas Park mean to you?
Yeah, Douglas Park is my neighborhood park. I, used to go there as a child in high school. I played soccer there with my high school team. We traveled to the west side. And so even now working with El Vejo, right, I know that the importance of our public parks and the fact that, now we have three huge festivals utilizing our public park, especially in, primetime Chicago, right? We don't have many summer days in Chicago. We're talking about redirecting youth programs to go somewhere else, right? Because of these huge festivals taking place in our park, we don't have that many youth teams in our park. And so we're asking parents, right, to take their children to the next park over, which would either be La Villita Park, which already sees pretty high usage of the park with the soccer league. So then we're asking our parents to take children even further south, right, to Marquette Park. And so that doesn't make any sense that, you know, folks that are not part of our community are prioritized to utilize our public park in comparison, right, to our young people and the local schools around here also utilize Douglas Park. So it's completely bonkers to prioritize such festivals over residents.
So you're seeing a lot of impact then of these music festivals on your park and your neighborhood.
Absolutely. And one of the things that also, you know, we don't understand how these three festivals were even prioritized in Douglas Park is that Douglas Park is surrounded by two hospitals, right? One of them being an adult trauma one. And so which serves, you know, the West Side and also serves Cook County Jail. And so, you know, on social media, we've, you know, already posted a few things of how, you know, concert goers are not really moving out of the way of, you know, ambulances. And so, you know, this is also, you know, kind of a life and death situation where every second, every minute really counts, right, to take this person to the emergency room. And, you know, if it's not St. Anthony, the next closest hospital would be Stroger, right, which is 2 miles away from Douglas Park. So it doesn't make any sense that, you know, we have these three huge festivals in between in a public park and plus disturbing hospitals.
Juanita, help put this into a larger context for us. You know, besides losing access to the park, what other impacts do you see music festivals having here?
Yeah, and I'd love to answer this not only as a director of Friends of the Parks, but I have lived for 50 years in Humboldt Park and have personally listened to Riot Fest from my windows when it used to be in Humboldt Park. And we see similar patterns of just moving the concert out of one community that kicked it out to another community without really engaging in a community benefits agreement approach to discussing whether or not this is good for the community or if it could be good under what conditions, right? And so we just don't see that happening at all. Friends of the Parks doesn't have a policy that says there should never be a concert in a park. Lots of us love many concerts in our parks. But there's a real difference when a concert is culturally relevant for the community, and when the cost makes sense for the community that's hosting it. And Riot Fest is very expensive, and even though a few tickets are given away to the community, it's essentially a bribe. There's not really an engagement around whether this is the right concert at the right time for this community. We don't see local businesses getting access and really making money in these contexts, and we often see policing outside the gates in ways that are, you know, very focused on brown and black people, whereas inside the gates, there's drug use that is actually protected by our city police assets.
Yeah, Sarah, the El Vejo and Unete La Vita, they've organized a campaign to get artists who are set to perform to essentially drop out. Can you give us some more details there?
So all the different festivals, Summer Smash, Heatwave, and Riot Fest, have donated thousands of dollars to our aldermen. And we have done everything that the Park District has asked us to do to get our voice heard and try to get these festivals out of the park and get our input. They won't listen to us, and they continue to claim that, you know, the community really wants these festivals without saying otherwise. And so, you know, we can't rely on the city of Chicago to do what's right by us. So we're asking the artists to stand with us and drop out of the fest.
Edith, the Park District said in a statement to Block Club Chicago that it works closely with event organizers so that festivals have minimal impact on the community and on the day-to-day use of the park. But in your experience, sounds like that may not be the case. Tell us, how many days do residents lose access to the park over the summer with these series of music festivals?
Yeah, so a lot of people think that the park is just fenced off, possibly just that weekend. But it takes a lot of planning to set up like three huge stages, right, fencing off the park. Douglas Park is divided in north and south. So these concert festivals, specifically Riot Fest, right, fences off the whole south end of the park. So we're talking about maybe 3 weeks of, you know, setup breakdown. But even then, the total days, we actually found out this year, it's a total of 46 days that our park is closed, where we don't have access to our parks. Even though, right, some of these donations, right, are taking place, it really doesn't outweigh the fact that our park is closed, right? We don't have access to different sports programs. And the fact that it just causes, right, a nuance to the neighborhood and includes, right, the impacts of, you know, traffic congestion, our CTA, right, the California Pink Line, as well as the Kedzie, are not built, you know, for this type of, like, volume of folks coming in and out. And the fact that, you know, there have been some pretty bad tragedies throughout the years with these concerts happening. And so, again, we have done everything that we can do, right, mm-hmm. through city process, even through aldermen. But, you know, they have refused to hold community meetings. Alderman Godwinath has basically forgotten about Little Village, even though he is still, you know, the alderman, and we're still part of the 12th ward. He has not been around. And so to just see the research, right, that continues to be done of how much, you know, money, you know, some of the local aldermen are making, it's very infuriating. And it does, you know, show that they are choosing profit over their constituents and over the residents.
I can hear the frustration, Edith.
Yeah.
Voice.
Yes. Yeah. It's been really frustrating.
Juanita, or, you know, Riot Fest also said that they're doing everything to remain a positive asset to the community. They give away tickets to residents who live close to Douglas Park. They recruit locally for jobs. They organize beautification initiatives. But do you think that's enough?
Actually, it's mostly insulting. I mean, one year they actually made sure flowers were planted in Douglas Park right before Riot Fest, right? So it was only for the beautification for the people coming for that weekend. It wasn't actually for the whole community that uses Douglas Park year-round. They gave away a very paltry amount of dollars and goodies to the community relative to the impact that the community experiences. And honestly, we see very similar things happening with Lollapalooza downtown and really very little engagement, if any, with the community about what things might make it worth the community to bear that burden. That's not really a conversation that's happening anywhere around the city when it comes to the burden of concerts and parks.
Edith, I'll get you to pick up where Juanita left off. Were residents given the opportunity to give input when Riot Fest moved from Humboldt Park back in 2015?
No, we did not. Actually, it was community residents that held a community meeting in regards to Riot Fest because we knew what was happening in Humboldt Park. You know, we kept really close eye on what was happening and the fact that, you know, they announced that Riot Fest was coming to Douglas Park. We had no input, and we still have had no input as far as, like, mega festivals taking place in Douglas Park. And so it was actually community residents that organized, you know, this meeting. And that's how I actually became to know, you know, Sarah, too,
yeah.
Through these organizing efforts, you know, throughout the years. And, you know, and we have definitely, you know, been connecting with organizations as well in North Mondale to see, you know, what has been the benefits, if any, right? And there really haven't been any benefits that, you know, outweighs closing off our park and limiting our youth programming, especially during the summer.
Yeah. Sarah, is there a way for a music festival to engage equitably with the community that it's entering?
To be honest, our stance is that we believe that music festivals should not be in public parks, particularly ones that are used for recreation for residents. And so we believe that these parks, that these mega festivals should maybe go to Soldier Field or to maybe the United Center. You know, there was just the Windy City Smoke out there recently. I don't see why these festivals can't take place in places where it doesn't disrupt neighborhood use. you know, there's no more kids soccer in Douglas Park anymore. And I just really don't think that there's a way for these mega festivals to exist where something like that doesn't happen. So, yeah, that's our stance.
What do you think this says about who has ownership of public parks?
It's the rich. The rich get a say. If you have enough money to get a permit, if you have enough money to go through the whole city process, then you can do whatever you want. You can drive vehicles and destroy the park and leave glass embedded in the soil so that when residents try to play soccer, you know, they get all scratched up. You can fence it off and drink and do drugs. And then if residents do something similar to that, they get ticketed or thrown in jail. So it's definitely an inequitable system.
I'll put that same question to the others. What do you think, Edith? Who has ownership of public parks?
Yeah, unfortunately, I would have to, you know, agree with Sarah as well. It's people who have access to money. It's people who are privileged who can, you know, spend a weekend in a community and not come back and not care about the community. You know, I attended the meeting that, Riot Fest hosted a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, you can just tell that this person was not invested in our community. And as a representative of Riot Fest, right, I am assuming that Riot Fest is clear not care about what residents have to say and what, you know, we need for our park. And so, unfortunately, people who have access to money, right, I'm including elected officials in that because they have also have had a huge say, right, on how our public parks are used and continue to ignore the residents. And so, unfortunately, I would have to say also that it's folks with money and a lot of influence.
So, you know, some people are in favor of the music festival, and they say that it brings economic development. So what do you say to that, Edith?
You know, we attended Chicago Public Park meetings, and we've asked them, can you show us the numbers? Because all these concerts, you know, Riot Fest has been in our community for 7 years, and they have allowed two additional concert festivals to come to our community, and they have yet to show us any type of community improvement. You know, we have surveyed a lot of the local restaurants in Little Village, especially on Cermak, and they actually told us that they don't really see an increase in value, especially because a lot of their regulars don't want to come to the area because of how congested the community gets around that time. And so if you're asking me about economic improvements, I haven't seen any. The park is still, I haven't really seen any improvements of our park. The sidewalks are not accessible.
Yeah.
Our park floods because of just how compacted the soil is, that it's not draining correctly. And so I have not seen any type of economic improvements hosting, you know, these festivals, especially Riot Fest these last 7 years.
So Juanita, leave us with this. What are some alternative locations then that you think the city should explore? Right? If we don't think public parks should be used for these private festivals, where should they go?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, we do think there are some concerts that make sense in some parks, and that depends on scale, it depends on cost, it depends on cultural relevance, right? But it also would make sense to have some of in Soldier Field has been mentioned. And we also think it's time for the city to look at models like Milwaukee that has a dedicated festival grounds, right? So it might be part of the park district system, but it's not a space where anyone is paying fees to play baseball or soccer or use it for other things that then they are displaced from, right? Put the infrastructure in so where it makes sense for a stage to occupy that space or for semi-trucks to be driving on that space. In Grant Park, we see semi-trucks parking on the tennis courts, which are not made for that, and now the tennis courts need to be fixed, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we need a dedicated space for this kind of thing rather than putting it in parks around the city that really can't handle the scale and really aren't getting the benefits.
Yeah. And so we're clear, Juanita. I mean, do these festival organizers technically need consent from the community in order for the city to actually issue a permit?
They do not. The city will sometimes say that the alderman approved it, so therefore they did it. On the other hand, we're hearing in Grant Park that the aldermen are not even being talked to when contracts are being let with Lollapalooza and NASCAR races. So the city alternately says it's important for the aldermen to be involved, and then it's not important for the aldermen to be involved. And that is their measure for the community saying it's a good thing. There are no conversations with the community.
Wow. Well, we'll have to leave it there. Great alternative solutions there that you've mentioned, Juanita. We've been talking with Juanita Irizarry from Friends of the Parks, Sarah Heyman from Unete La Villita, and Edith Tovar from the Little Village Environmental Justice Organization. Thank you all. This episode of Reset was produced and mixed by Marie Mendoza. Tomorrow on the podcast, our conversation with author Mohsen Hamid about his latest book, The Last White Man. Subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss it. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.